This is VK6ARN. News West is a WA-based club, and we continue to deliver news content to Sandgropers and beyond since 1931.
It's Sunday, the 7th of June, and I'm Darren, VK6EK, your producer for this week, and you're listening to News West. If you're listening in the morning, by now, if you participated, you would be wrapping up your VK Shires competition activities and preparing your log for submission. Hope you enjoyed the activity and were able to make many contacts. The VK competition calendar says that in 2 weeks, on the 20th and 21st of June, is the VK Winter VHF-UHF Field Days. Details of the activity can be found on the WIA website.
Hello everyone, Anthony here, VK6AXB, with an update from WAG, the West Australian Repeater Group. There's only a few sleeps to go until WAG's junk sale. It's this coming Saturday, June 13th, starting at 10 a.m. at number 10 Helen Street in Bellevue, which is the old Midland Scout Hall. We've had heaps of table bookings, so the hall should be packed full of good stuff, all of it looking for new homes. Also, we're pleased to have specialist amateur radio suppliers joining us, including Horizon Antennas Australia, who'll have all their HF antenna options on display and available. The other thing to look out for is our raffle, which is happening on the day. There are some great prizes on offer. We're very thankful to ICOM Australia, who've provided a T10 dual band handheld radio, and also to Comtech Radio and Horizon Antennas for their support with prizes. Other things include a Nano VNA and some smaller items. Tickets are available at the swap meet only, and it'll be drawn on the day, so if you want a chance at the prizes, it's another great reason to come along. There'll be tea, coffee, snacks, etc. available, and a sausage sizzle type lunch there for purchase on the day. You can grab a cuppa while you're catching up with old friends and new ones. So, I look forward to seeing everyone there at WAG's Junk Sale and Swap Meet, 10 a.m. this Saturday, June 13th, at the Old Midland Scout Hall, number 10 Helen Street in Bellevue. Sellers can get there from 9 to set up. A few other things. Our regular WAG meeting for June is tomorrow. That's Monday the 8th at 7:30 p.m. And our technical and general net happens later on this morning. Sundays, 10:30 local on VK6RLM, 146.750. Of course, if you're listening to this at another time, try us next Sunday. Once again, we thank the team at News West for putting this to air. And this has been Anthony, VK6AXB, on behalf of WAG.
The June edition of RASA's QTC magazine was published during the week, and there's lots on offer for readers. In this June edition of QTC, we describe an exciting new RASA project and are calling for team members to take part. Here's a chance to join in doing something really good. There's an informative article about SVX Link, a Linux app that works with Echolink, but does so much more. Some amateurs were unsure about ACMA's new Register of Radio Licenses, RRL, wondering why their license wasn't included. We published the ACMA's response, which clarifies the new RRL and why amateurs are not included. Do we tend to hide our hobby behind closed doors? Paul takes a look at taking our hobby public. The VJ2L expedition to Lord Howe Island is on now, albeit with the CME and stormy weather. But they are there. Look at the clusters and look at their QRZ page. There are the usual columns, dits and dars for those into CW, and DX happenings for those over the horizon aspirants. Philip gives us news from New Zealand this month with a focus on outdoor activities such as POTA. We also talk about what's coming up in contesting and ways in which RASA supports amateur radio clubs and the resources available free to everyone from RASA, especially the very popular Foundation Level Study Guide. QTC magazine is published electronically in a read-on-the-screen format, or you can download as a PDF. QTC and all resources offered by RASA are free and are available to everyone, no membership required. And where do you find QTC? At the website, vkradioamateurs.org. That's vkradioamateurs.org.
Pucks on the Air recently announced that water bodies, such as lakes, would be added to the ever-expanding list of eligible parks. Over the last week, many of the lakes around Perth, particularly north of Perth, have been added. go to http://poda.app and look at maps in the left column to find a park you would like to set up in. There's somewhere you are planning to visit and for one reason or other is not included in the parks program, drop me a line at vk6ek@katt.au. And if the park or site meets the criteria, we'll add it for you. If you haven't tried Poda yet and are not sure how to get it started, there's a growing number of fellow hams in a very active social media group supporting the activity. There to help. Give it a go.
Hi, I'm Bob VK6POP and I want to talk to you about amateur radio contests. I'd like to say that I'm quite the expert at amateur radio contests. However, that would be more than just a bit of a fib. In reality, I don't do many contests, only maybe 3 Aussie contests in a year. I don't do very well at them, although, if I must brag at all, I don't come last. I once came second in a category of the John Moyle contest. At the time, I was working from a spot in South Australia, giving me a distance advantage not usually enjoyed by us here in Western Australia. So why do I do it? Contest, that is. I do the contest because it makes me stretch my abilities a bit. I often used to operate from a portable location because I love camping and because I like to muck around a bit with wire antennas. Going portable for the weekend now is much more difficult because we're a one-car family and the car is smaller and towing a trailer is no longer an option. I forgot to mention that I'm older now. It's hard to believe that I've been in the hobby for 20 years and I was about to turn 60 when I was first licensed as an amateur. Back to contests. As I said, I enjoy the challenge of mucking around with antennas, sometimes with spectacular disappointment, mostly due to the conditions. However, I go through hours of angst, wondering if my antenna was useless. What I have found useful about contests in the past is that they provide an opportunity to introduce people to the hobby and to develop the on-air skills of newcomers. I think my next foray into not winning contests will be the Remembrance Day contest in August, and I encourage you to consider having a go, and I especially encourage those who have a bit of contesting under your belts to take on some less experienced folk and make it a group activity. It's fun, it's very sociable, and people learn along the way.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. About a year ago, I set upon a new adventure to determine if the dummy load I own, traditionally seen as a device that doesn't emit any RF, to determine if it was in fact imbued with the ability to absorb RF rather than share it around like an antenna might. At this point, you might be shaking your head, but this wasn't embarked upon lightly. I had spent several years experimenting with lower and lower power levels and came to learn that even 10 milliwatts can make it to the other side of the planet, 13,945 kilometres away. In other words, extremely low power can, under the right conditions, make it across the globe. So, with that in mind, I connected a dummy load to my whisper beacon and configured it to transmit across each band between 80 metres and 10 metres, and then set up an RTL-SDR dongle to monitor those same bands, as well as the remainder of the amateur bands within the range of the dongle. I did this because I wanted to make sure that if there was any chance of a harmonic appearing unexpectedly, there'd be a good chance I'd see it. Then, for a year, I did nothing. Well, not exactly, but we'll get to that. After downloading 16 months of whisper reports, I extracted all the records that had my beacon in it and separated them into two groups. Those that had Victor Kilo 6 Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo as the reporting station and those that didn't. Both contained a significant number of signal reports. After doing some analysis, charting the efforts and discovering other phenomena, I can report back a little of what I learned. The dummy load does radiate, but I only saw reports from the dongle, which is in the same room. I have already talked about this, and at the moment the working theory is that the coax between the beacon and the dummy load radiates, or the beacon itself does, or something else, because the RTL-SDR dongle is clearly and accurately decoding whisper signals. I'm not sure how I'd go about verifying where the radiation is coming from exactly, or if I'd need equipment that I don't have or know about. That said, somewhat to my surprise, the signal reports were not static, varying considerably by as much as 40 dB. Notice that we're talking about a signal that is being, at least ostensibly, transmitted into a dummy load and being received on an external antenna. The signal reports don't appear particularly affected by time of day or band. That said, there's a visible range of reports across the year, but it's hard to observe anything definitive, since most of September and October is missing. At this point, I cannot tell you why that's the case. More on this in a moment. I did notice that some odd things happened to reports throughout the year. For example, on 40 metres, the reports were significantly poorer in the first half of 2025. 17 and 15 metres, on the other hand, were worse in the second half of the year. On the 25th of April here in Australia, we are permitted to change our call sign to use Alpha X-ray as a prefix. So my Victor Kilo 6 Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo call sign would be Alpha X-ray 6 Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo. On that day, I configured my beacon to use 40 meters and connected it to the antenna for the first time in a year. I had several reports across the Great Australian Bight over 2,000 kilometres away. At midnight UTC the next day, I changed the call sign back to its normal Victor Kilo prefix and changed the bands to use 80 metres, 40 metres, 15 metres and 10 metres, and left it connected to the antenna. While the antenna is a mono-band antenna, I wanted to know if it would still radiate on bands it wasn't intended for. Turns out that, yes, it does. Very nicely, in fact. Since activating it like this, I've been heard by 79 different stations as far away as 15,649 kilometres in the United States, and in Antarctica, as well as across Europe and several reports in Africa, the bulk in the Asia-Pacific. Something curious, though. I noticed that there were no reports on 80 metres, and only a few on 40 metres. Pretty evenly split are reports on 15 metres and 10 metres. This was odd to me, since I would have told you that the antenna is a 40-metre monoband antenna. You might recall, built by Walter, Victor Kilo 6, Bravo, Charlie, Papa, Silent Key, I was given several antennas that are essentially helically wound verticals. I've used these ever since. I was adamant that I'd change my antenna to 40 metres. After scratching my head for a bit, I decided that measuring might be a good idea. I discovered that the SWR, the standing wave ratio, a traditional measurement of antenna effectiveness on 80 metres, is infinite. It's high on 40 metres, over 3 to 1 on 15 metres, just on 3 to 1 on 10 metres, and similar on 2 metres. In other words, this is probably a 15-metre antenna. Now, here's some things to observe. Based on reports across Australia, this antenna still radiates my 200-milliwatt beacon on 40 metres, even though the SWR is 17.5 to 1. Yes, you heard that right. This by way of noticing that the SWR has a relationship with how your antenna functions, but you might know, a dummy load has a perfect SWR of 1 to 1. In other words, the SWR is one way of characterising your antenna, but clearly it's not the final word on the ability of your antenna to get on air and make noise. I've said it before, any antenna is better than no antenna. This left me with a growing sense of unease. Several of my measurements are missing. I wasn't using the antenna I thought I was. I don't recall exactly when I switched over from my 10-milliwatt antenna experiment to my 200-milliwatt dummy load, and no doubt there's other things that are lost, like local thunderstorms that encouraged me to disconnect my external receive antenna, or when I rebooted a frozen computer that wasn't decoding anything, or when the internet was down, not reporting to whispernet.org. Some of these things I can reconstruct. For example, I can roughly see in the logs when my beacon was reconfigured to 200 milliwatts. But was it still connected to an antenna, or did I immediately connect the dummy load? I came to realise, probably again, that I should keep better notes beyond those that make it into my weekly efforts here. So I built a lab notes tool that will help with that. It's on my VK6FLAB GitHub page and consists of a single bash script that takes care of business. The notes are also stored on GitHub, so you can follow along. Feedback welcome. Admittedly, this still requires that I take notes, but at least one friction point has been removed, namely a place to make such notes. Feel free to make your own. In the meantime, I'm going to figure out if I have an 80-meter antenna lying around and if I can use it with my beacon across multiple amateur bands. I'll make a note when I do. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
As amateurs, we typically don't do radio-related things for money, unless it is our actual business enterprise. Hamfests, camps, repeater maintenance, this news broadcast, all unpaid work in the name of supporting our hobby. People volunteer for numerous reasons, whether it's to support their own hobby or interests, or those of their family, or to get a buzz out of doing something for the community. Volunteering some of your time to one organisation or another means that organisation can continue to operate for its beneficiaries at a very low cost, meaning people who would otherwise be financially unable to enjoy the activity can participate. Volunteering for a few different organisations has allowed me to meet people. In one of those situations, those people may or may not even be aware of what's happening around them. There is almost never any recognition, but in every case, I've gained some personal satisfaction of supporting my community. All of this is by no means meant to guilt you, the listener, into volunteering. You may be doing it already without being aware of how you're contributing. Or for most people, there simply isn't the time left to offer, and that's perfectly fine. Just be aware that the hamfest you go to, the coaches, umpires, or others at your children or grandchildren's sporting events, and many other unseen support by volunteers is often done by people who, in every case, benefit from a simple thank you for your efforts. National Volunteer Week was a fortnight ago, but appreciation for volunteers should not be limited to 1 week a year. If you're a volunteer, I sincerely thank you for your efforts. This is Darren, VK6EK.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor. This week's helpline, I really have something today, which is very good. It's the 6th of June, and I have for you today a ICOM IC706 Mark IIG HF rig. It's got UHF as well, yes, and 2 meters as well, of course, and a good condition plus LDG auto antenna tuning unit and a GME 35 amp 12 volt power supply for the above gear. Asking $1,200 for the lot. That's for the ICOM 706 Mark IIG, the power supply and the tuner. So that's a pretty good deal. All above gear, $1,200 the lot. Maybe you viewed at home in Eglinton. This comes from Keith, VK6 Papa Tango. He's in the metropolitan area, and transport to anywhere in Perth metro area if you are looking for this gear. Please call Keith Pedersen 962 at gmail.com is his email address. Keith Pedersen, Pettersson 962 at gmail.com. I'll say that again in all in one piece. Keith Pedersen 962 at gmail.com. And that's all I have for you today. So if you would like anything for next week, please contact me. That's Roy VK6X-Ray Victor. That's me. And I'll deal with your request as it comes in. And hopefully we'll have some more for you next week. But until then, this is Roy saying 7-3, and have a good day. Whatever you're doing, do it well. Cheers.
And that's the news. Thank you to the production team who put the news together each week. There is a lot that goes on behind the scenes. Thank you to the regular contributors. This news production happens each week because you take their time to record your article. Please keep them coming. And also, thank you to those that put the news to air each week. Please stand by now for callbacks. If you have never called back for one reason or another, please take this opportunity to have a go. We would all like to hear your call. If you listen via a podcast or download it via the website, please take a moment or two to register on the vk6.net, as the growing number of registrations encourages us to keep up production. For now, this is Coolio for VK6EK73.
covering Western Australia and beyond. This is News West, brought to you by WA Amateur Radio News, on air, online and on demand. This is VK6 ARN, and I'm Mark, VK4 MHQ.